Amen. Thank you so much, Joel, and thank you, Westwood, for having us here this morning. It's always great joy to be home, right? To be with family here, to call you friends, to get to pray together, to hang out and spend time together. A couple months ago, I was in an airport in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, headed to Nairobi, Kenya, to speak to a group of students when my phone rang, and on the other end was Pastor Joel. And he was saying, you know, I would like for you to speak on prayer in a couple months. And after we had concluded our conversation, I heard the Holy Spirit kind of whisper to me and say, you know, I want you to spend some time really praying for the people before you get a chance to speak to them. And so I've been praying for you the last couple months that God may do great and mighty things in and through us. You've heard it said here several times, many times over the last 2 years, that prayer is our way forward, right? Prayer is our way forward. And some of you wonder, where did that come from? Well, a couple of years ago, I was actually praying for Westwood. And as I was praying for Westwood, one of the nights I went to bed, and then I just had this beautiful dream or vision that the Lord gave to me. And in this vision, I was driving into Westwood. And I saw this long line of people just lining up from the entrance over there all the way, and the line came all the way into this space here and into the front here, and you are all waiting for prayer, you know, anticipating the work of God in our lives. And the line went all the way through the kids' area, all the way into the chapel, all the way into the parking lot. On the other end of the parking lot, that side. And so I believe that today, even as we are here, the Spirit of God wants to minister to us, right? And He's inviting us to a place of encounter. That Westwood is this place where it's a beacon of revival for the community. You know, that in the dream, I saw like we had over 5,000 people lined up waiting to be prayed for. And won't that be amazing if that were to be a reality? And so I remember calling Joel and sharing with him that, and he got so excited. You know, he was like, yes, that's what we want. We want this to be a place of prayer, a place of encounter with the Lord. And in James chapter 5, verses 16, the Bible says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. That is, made whole, regain the shalom of God, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous person or believer is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous, tremendous power. I'm using a version that is just a little bit more juicy, all right? It brings out all the flavors. It's like when you are cooking a steak and all these flavors are coming out, okay? And you get one bite and there is all these flavors that kind of go out into your mouth. And so this is the version, the amplified version that I'm going to be using this morning. So just bear with me if the flavors are just a little bit too juicy, okay? Take it in, all right. And so James tells us that when we pray with one another, as we pray with one another, guess what? There is healing that happens. There is restoration that happens. There is freedom that comes. There is deliverance that happens. There is joy that is released as the people of God pray for one another. And that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The early disciples, they always spent time praying for one another. In fact, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, he gives us an example. You know, Paul, when he started his epistles, he would start with this prayer for the people that he was writing to. And look at what he says. He says, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight. You're following, right? I mean, deep, personal, intimate insight into the true knowledge of Him, that is God. For we know the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, that is God's people, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength. That's juicy. It's juicy steak, yeah. It is so rich that God is inviting us into this place of deep communion, personal intimacy, connection with Himself through the act of prayer. And Paul prays this over the saints. He prays this over the Ephesians. Now, I don't want us just to read what Paul is saying or what Paul is praying over the Ephesians. I actually want us to pray together for one another. And so we're going to pray this very prayer of Paul over each one of us, that as we are seated together this morning, we may enter into the place of revelation, into the place of deep understanding, into the place of intimacy, into the place of communion with God and with one another. And so look at your neighbor right now. I know some of you may feel a little bit shy, but look around. We are family, okay? It's okay if you feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's all right. It will get more comfortable as we continue. But I want you to think how you can pray for that person next to you this morning, that as we are seated together, we may encounter together the intimacy, the quality of friendship with Jesus. And so I want us to pray, if we can put that prayer up here, because we're going to pray together. And if you can just pray out loud, repeating after me, say, I pray for you that God may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the true knowledge of Jesus. I pray for you that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit. I pray for you that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe. This is a powerful prayer, isn't it? And I know that many of us right now, you know, you feel in your heart and you are sensing that something is breaking through right now. that the fog and the cloud is lifting because we just prayed. It's like this morning as I was driving in from Waconia, you know, there was this fog that we were driving through. And as the sun shines and the light breaks through, the fog begins to lift. Some of you are here feeling the cloud of and the fog over your spiritual understanding. And right now, as we pray together, that cloud begins to lift. The sunshine of Jesus begins to break through. You get clarity of vision, clarity of understanding, clarity of encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. And that is what he wants us to experience this morning. Maybe you feel like, I just want to continue to pray for my neighbor right now. And I say, yes, please don't stop. Keep praying in your heart quietly. Keep interceding for that person that you are praying for and trusting God for. In fact, we need people here at Westwood that will commit to be part of the prayer teams, that pray consistently, pray continually. You know, we have that QR code up there. You can just scan that and say, I want to be part of the prayer team. That every week, maybe you just walk in here. Often I make it a habit. When I come into Westwood, I don't have to announce to anybody. I just come in here and I pray around, you know. I know that you will be here on a Sunday morning. And so I pray for you. I lift you up before the presence of God. And this is the invitation that Jesus wants us to enter into as a body. Now, some of you may be dealing with issues today. You may be struggling with fear, with anxiety, with pain, with a sickness, with depression, with oppression in your life. Guess what? Jesus is well able to deal with that on your behalf today as we pray together as the body of Jesus Christ right here at Westwood. You see, as evangelists around the world, we get to see a lot of things. We get to see people being set free from demonic oppression, from sicknesses, from pain of all kinds. And sometimes we think that is just something that happens over there in India, or over there in Africa, or over there in Latin America. It doesn't happen here because somehow our God in America is dead. No, God is not dead. As Paul prays that we may enter into this active place of encounter with Christ, that we are activated, we are alive in him, and his power is present to us this morning. His power is present to us this morning. And so I encourage you to be prepared, because at the end of this message, we're going to invite you. I'm going to invite you to come because we're going to encounter God together as the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he gives his disciples a parable, teaching them about this persistent widow. And he tells them this so that they will learn how to continually pray and not give up and not lose heart. Some of you may be dealing with a situation in your life, a relationship in your life, a sickness in your life, and you're almost giving up. Guess what? God says, be persistent. Pray, and pray with one another, because God is going to do something powerful. He's going to meet you at the place of your need. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing. In other words, prayer should be an ongoing exercise. It's like breathing. It is like, you know, we wake up, we breathe prayer at night, in the morning, asleep, awake. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there is incense that is being offered inside of us. There is songs that arise out of you in the middle of the night. You are consistently connected with the Spirit of God and that He's praying in and through you. And then when we come together in moments like this, we get to pray together. Not only do we sing together, not only do we hear the word of God together, but we get to pray together as the body of Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. The disciples of Jesus spoke to Christ and they said, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." You see, prayer is one of the simplest things that we can do because it's like breathing. Yet at the same time, it is one of the most profound things that we can do and one of the most difficult. In fact, Andrew Murray, one of the very well-known authorities on prayer, he was a missionary who lived in the 19th century. He states this, that in its beginnings, prayer is so simple that the feeblest child can pray. Yet it is at the same time the highest and the holiest work to which man can rise. It is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one. The powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal. It is the very essence of true religion, the channel of all blessings. He continues, it is the secret of power and life, not only for ourselves, but for others, for the church, and for the world. It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of Him and His strength. It is on prayer that the promises wait for their fulfillment, the kingdom of God for its coming, and the glory of God for its full revelation. That is powerful. Many of us are oblivious to the authority that we have been given in Christ, the privilege that we carry as followers of Jesus. We are living subpar lives, right? We are subpar lives because we haven't entered into this full measure of the goodness and the glory of God that is manifest through our moments of prayer and communion with God. Several months ago, God was teaching me a few things about prayer. I remember it was in October, and somehow this one night, I wake up and I look at my clock, my watch, and it is 3:29 in the morning. And somehow I hear this whisper, this voice of the Holy Spirit saying, you know, I want to spend time with you. And you know, I've kind of trained my mind, my spirit to hear when the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord was inviting me into this moment of communion. So I said, sure, Lord. So I got up. I'm feeling a little sleepy and croaky, but I got up anyway. And I went into the living room and away from, you know, I didn't want to disrupt my wife or my kids and thank God for them. And so I was praying and I was spending a moment with God. And, you know, before I knew it, it was 6 in the morning. And I'm just enjoying this communion and the Holy Spirit is taking me through the book of Song of Solomon. You know, Jesus showing me how He wants to be intimate and connected with us. And then the next day, 3:29, again, I wake up. I'm like, okay, Lord, I would love to have some good sleep. But because you're here, Lord, I'm going to have the time with you. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the tenth day. And then around the tenth day, then the Lord began to speak to me. He's like, now I want you to go for 40 days. I'm like, Lord, I mean, I could use some good sleep, you know? But it was so sweet and so intimate and so beautiful. And this is the invitation that God wants to invite all of us in, that we learn to have a moments of encounter, seasons of growth, seasons of experience with the Lord Himself. Now, you know, I grew a lot through that, and I continue to have moments like those. In fact, the other night I was up and, you know, my wife and I, we are celebrating 16 years of being married. And so Friday night, you know, we decided we're going to leave the kids at home and, you know, we're going to go out, just the two of us. And we're going to spend the night out there. They can hang out for themselves, you know. But anyway, no, we didn't leave them by themselves. We had someone watch over them for the night. But then at 3:30, I kind of woke up and I was praying, you know. And then at about 4:15, my daughter texts me and she says, "Dad, I'm awake and I can't go back to sleep," you know, my 12-year-old. And can you pray with me? I want to sleep. I said, sure. So I prayed with her. And then 15 minutes later, she called me back. She's like, "Dad, I still can't sleep." And I realized that, you know, I think the Lord is also calling her to a place of intimacy with himself. And so I said, "You know what, Shiloh, can I invite you in? I'm actually having a moment of prayer. Can I invite you in to pray with me?" She said, "Sure, Dad." And so we began to pray together. And in the midst of our prayer time, she said, "You know what, Dad? I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me that on Sunday, he wants to heal some people. That there's somebody there who is dealing with severe arthritis. God would love to heal him. And I hear that there's somebody dealing with bronchitis. God wants to heal them too." And then she said, "By the way, what's that?" And then that's why I was like, okay, I know. It's the Holy Spirit speaking, because she doesn't know what these terms mean, right? And she said, "You know, and I think there's somebody who may need deliverance, and God wants to set them free too. And there might be somebody who is dealing with severe fear, and God will want to set them free. It's somebody with, and I think they'll have green eyes and they'll be in pink." And I was like, okay. And so you might be here right now. You have green eyes and you're in pink. I want to invite you because Jesus wants to set you free from the fear that you're dealing with, that severe fear. But you know, Jesus wants to invite us into this place of intimacy and connection with himself, that we can hear his heart, we can hear his passion, we can hear his desire. Here are some quick pointers on effectual prayer, as outlined in James chapter 5, verse 16. One, effectual prayer must be to the glory of God. Must be to the glory of God. Secondly, must be in full surrender to the will of God in your life. Thirdly, effectual prayer must be in full assurance of faith. Bible says that we, when we come to God, we must come in full understanding that he is spirit. That we come in faith. We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then effectual prayer must be in the name of Jesus. Must be in the name of Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven by which men and women must be saved except the name of Jesus. And as Jesus reminds us, prayer must be with a perseverance that, if need be, refuses to be denied. Refuses to be denied. You're persistent. You are consistent. You will press in and wait with the Lord. Now, here are some benefits of a lifestyle of both collective and individual prayer. Prayer is a channel for fellowship with God. We get a moment to be able to fellowship with God. Some of you are wondering, how can you spend 3 hours in prayer? I mean, you mean you can do that? I mean, are you not able to spend 3 hours with somebody? And if we believe God is real, God is a person, and he's the most important, why wouldn't we spend time with God? It is the key to our personal transformation as we spend moments with God in prayer. Prayer is also a platform to make petitions, supplications, and obtain requests. It's like a lawyer when you go before a judge. You see, a judge is not going to respond to you based on how much crying you have, or how much fearful you are, or how much pain you may be dealing with. They'll be looking at the law. What does the law say? Their judgment is based on what is stated in the law. And the Bible reminds us that we, when we come to God in prayer, we are coming as those that come to present our petitions, our prayers, our supplications. Those are legal terms, right? We are presenting those before God, and God has revealed it all in His law, in His word. He has stated it. And so when we come to God, we come with what is revealed in the word, and we present it to God and allow Him to respond and to deliver judgment on our behalf on the basis of what He has revealed in His word. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we heard that we pray for one another that we may be healed and restored. The Greek word translated as healed and restored is the word iomai, which means to cure. It means to heal. It means to make whole. It means to free from errors and sins and to bring about our salvation. It's a rich word. It means the mission of Jesus being fully realized in our lives. And this is the invitation that as we pray together, God wants to accomplish in our lives today. Jesus wants to minister to you. He wants to touch you. He wants to reveal His goodness, His power, His grace, His healing touch in your life. See, one of the benefits of prayer is that it is also where we fight spiritual battle. Some of you may be dealing with situations and you wonder, what is it that is happening with me? Maybe it's a medical condition and you go to the doctors and they say, there's nothing wrong. You see, one of the ways that you know that something has a spiritual root is when you go to a doctor and the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you. Yet in your body, you feel and you know there is something happening. It means that the answer is spiritual. And Jesus has the authority. Jesus gives us as the body authority to deal with that together as we pray together. Maybe you have a habit in your life that you struggle with. It's a habitual sin that you deal with, and it's bringing conflict in your marriage, in your relationships, in your friendships, and you're saying, who will deliver me from this? Guess what? As we pray together, God is well able to break loose those chains and those habits that you might be dealing with today. And so I want to invite you right now. Iomai, healing, restoration, deliverance, freedom. This is what Jesus wants to extend to us together as His body. And so I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to pray together and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. Your heart might be beating right now, or you feel a sense of anticipation, and you're just feeling like, yeah, that's speaking to me right now. And yes, God is speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, this moment. And He wants you to know He can minister to your need, to your condition, to your desire. Those of you at Bush Lake, those of you at West Anchor, those of you online, yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. And He's here to minister to you. And so I want us to bow in prayer right now. Father, we thank You. We bless You. We honor You as You minister healing to us in the context of fellowship and prayer with one another. As we about, maybe, I mean, you hear that clearly and you know that is you that the Holy Spirit is addressing. And you're saying, you know, just pray with me right now. I want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Thank you, all over this room. Just raise it up straight. You're saying, I want to respond to this invitation from the Holy Spirit to minister to me. Just raise it up. Now, because the Bible encourages us to pray together, I want to do something in this service that we didn't do in the other services because of the squishing of time. And I'm sure Pastor Clint will let me do this. But all of you that are raising your hands, you know, I just want you to actually take a step of faith and stand. All of you raising your hands, just stand if you can. Stand right now. Stand, all of you. If you are raising your hand, just stand. Is your indication saying, you know, I believe, and I want God just to move in my life right now, in my space right now, and to bring healing and restoration and wholeness. Now, if you're standing, yes, I know, we are big congregation, and those of you at Bush Lake, West Tonka, you know, just stand wherever you are. Now, I want to ask you to do one more thing. This again is just you showing your level of commitment and saying, Jesus, I invite you. I want to ask us to come just right here in the front as a show of our faith. So if you're standing, just move. Come, make your way. It's all right. At least this is the last service, so we have time, we have room. You can come. And I know this space will probably be so full, so it's okay to stand in the aisles once the front is full. That is okay. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying He wants to minister to you. He wants to free you. He wants to touch you in a very special way. And as you show your faith, as you show your response, as you show your confidence in His word, in His invitation, He's going to break the chains of depression, of anxiety, of fear, of shame, of habitual sin. The Holy Spirit wants to do that this morning in this space. And that just like in those lines, you know, the Holy Spirit is brooding over us, all right? He's brooding over us. He's brooding over us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you as you brood over this audience this morning, that you're brooding over us with a touch of revival. You're brooding over us, inviting us to the place of surrender and healing. You're brooding over us, inviting us into a moment of encounter with you. And in the name of Jesus, we stand to declare to every demonic operation, be loosed in the name of Jesus. We speak to every principality that holds the people of God in chains, in fear, in anxiety. We command those chains to be broken now in the name of Jesus. Be free in the authority of the name of Jesus. We speak to the sickness that is unexplainable, and we command it to be lifted right now in the name of Jesus. We know you are root. Satan, you're a thief, you're a murderer, you're a destroyer. But Jesus has come to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And therefore we command you to lift in the authority of the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you as you release hope, as you release freedom, as you release life, as you release hope right now in the lives and the hearts of your people. We love you. We honor you. We exalt you. I just want to let you know that, you know, our prayer teams are going to be here to continue to pray, so you don't have to hurry to leave. And we're going to continue to pray with you as the Holy Spirit moves and ministers to you. I remember in the second service, we had so many people crying because God was ministering to them, the first service rather. And even in the chapel, there was this need, and God is here. So you don't have to hurry. God wants to minister to you as body, as we pray together. And so I'm just gonna invite Pastor Clint, you know, you can release us, but then we'll continue to pray, all right? We're going to continue to pray.